So assessment should be integrated into your learning sequence. So right throughout your sequence, you can just have a little, you know, you might do your assessments and signify them in a certain colour or a certain shape beside them, a little icon or something like that, just to remind you when you're working each week in the room with the students, you know, what your strategy is going to be. A mix of formative, summative, informal, formal, but not overboard, because a lot of it is quite intuitive anyway. But it's just nice to kind of articulate it, because that's what a lot of teachers do all the time. They actually are doing formative assessment, but they're going, no, I'm just asking questions. But you can tell by the way they're actioning the responses to those questions in the classroom that they're actually, it's formative assessment, which is informing their teaching practice, you know, and how they respond to that individual student's responses. So clearly explain the connections between the learning goals, the activities, and the situations that you're setting up in the learning sequence and the assessment task. So the students refer to these when they're, you know, they know we're all on the same page. We've all got the same mindset. We're all heading in the same direction. That's a good point. Some of the language in VCAR is a bit teachery, but I think what you do is you say to the students, look, this might sound a bit teachery and a bit boring, but this is what this means. You know, say in year 10, you start bringing it in. This is what it really means. I'm saying it to you because you're going to see this in the exam and I just want you to get used to it. And they'll kind of come on board with it. And you might want to give them a little handout about it in, and they can stick that in their folio so that they remember it as they go along.
The other thing that sometimes I do is, or most of the time I do, is on the assessment rubrics, I will have, you know, this is the information that is from the Unit 3-4 marking rubric, and then this is what it means in plain text. So I kind of colour code it as well. So I'll say, you know, the fancy sentence, and then this is how it applies to this level. This is what I actually mean. This is what I expect. So more of a clarification within that same box. So sometimes my rubrics look a bit overwhelming and huge, but I'm getting students to submit regularly. You know, they might submit one of those criterion separately and it'll be really meaty in there. But then I'll get them to do another trial with that same rubric. So they're seeing it. Say, for example, in studio arts in Unit 1, I'll get them to do some media trials and I might do 4 media trials. The first one will be a little baby one, and then I've gotten them to submit it, and then they can see how the rubrics works and what the terminology is, and we go through it and I really slow it down. And then the next time it might be, say, a painting media trial. So they're repeating the process and the rubrics is exactly the same so that they can see how to improve. So in theory, you know, that every media trial they're going to improve.
The other thing with the students is, you know, to make transparent with them how these, you know, say to them, this is what I have to teach you, and this and it's going to be measured by this rubric. See how they all connect.
Mm.
And like as Erin said, it's really good if you are going to say, you know, take up their work, that you say, look, I'm going to be particularly, when you hand in your folio this time, I'm going to be particularly checking out your annotations. You know, are they up to date? Are they, you know, the quality, like blah, blah, blah. Or I'm going to be checking on your exploration of materials, techniques and processes, blah, blah, blah. So that they've, if they're a bit behind in one of the criteria areas, they'll amp it up a bit because they've got to hand it in.
Yeah.
Did you find that, Erin?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, so you might have those progressive submissions, but the final submission isn't until a particular date, so that they get the idea. And so they're getting feedback from you. And it means that you might have, say, 25 in your class. You can have them in group A, B, C, D, E, and then say, group A, I'll be collecting your folios on Wednesday. you need to hand them to me. So then you're taking five at a time. Five is achievable to do, and it gives them an idea of what they need to do. Because if you take all 25, realistically, you're not going to get them done overnight, are you? Whereas five, you can take them home, get five done, bring them back the next day, and then grab the next five, you know?
Yeah. Because the main thing you've got to avoid is getting those nasty surprises.
Yeah, that's student, exactly right.
That student who, you know, I got that first few years I was teaching. You know, those nasty surprises when they tell you they're doing it at home.
Yeah.
And they've left their follow at home again and, you know, but they'll be bringing it next time and it's going
to
be
fantastic. And you trust them.
And you trust them. And then you find, you know, it looks fantastic, but they haven't done any annotations for about 3 weeks. Yeah. And you nearly have a heart attack.
Yeah, so and you're gut-wrenched because you realise you've just dropped the ball, but you didn't know you were dropping the ball. So
that's why it's really important to just keep those lists and tick them off and make sure that you're giving every student every opportunity to achieve, okay?
You might break it down into a checklist or a success criteria. I have done this. I have completed blah, blah, blah. I have annotated the da-da-da's.
Yep.
You know,
so if you have, like, would you ever do like a full big rubric for the whole of an outcome, and then each time they're submitting it, even if that's fortnightly or something, they're ticking off one of those outcomes, and then they've got a chance to, you know, how you were talking about, like if they haven't like got a C as they're progressive and going through, you're going to give them another chance. So would that be up until the final outcome one's done?
So you might say for example, you know, media trial one, they don't submit their media trial folio until the end of unit one, but I've marked it, but they have an opportunity to improve. They just need to tell me which page I need to look at. I don't want to be searching. Put a post-it note, a clear indication of, Mrs. Cordello, I have improved criterion whatever for whatever. And then I can refer back to the picture that I've taken that's in my Google Drive. I can look at that page. I can look at my marking rubric. I can improve the mark. And it's really quick. And I can probably do it in 3 minutes while they're standing there, you know.
Yeah.
So absolutely, I allow that. Again, this is in each individual school and teacher. I just think my theory is, how are they going to improve if I don't show them how to improve? And unit one is a really great opportunity where you can be super flexible. And then in unit two, I'm starting to get a little bit more serious and it needs to be done by this date and shorter time frames to get things done in. Yeah. But you can't just sort of allow them endless time because you need to submit your S and N grades and you don't want things to be hanging over your head or theirs either. So give them time frame, you know, within the next 2 weeks, this needs to be redone.
Can I just add, though, it really does depend on the school you're working in.
That's right.
So, like, the school that I was working in was quite a good school. So most of the learners were pretty good, but there are students that really struggle with too much writing, you know, and that's the reason they're doing art, is because the arts is the way they roll in the world. So you've got to just find that happy place for each student. So certain strategies might work with one student, but not with another. But I just think it's all about making sure that you're on top of that every student's had every opportunity to achieve the criteria. They understand what the criteria is talking about. You've broken it down for them a bit. You're making a bit of a laugh and saying, oh, look at all this fancy stuff, but that's what it really means. As long as they understand that, that's fine.